Blog Talk Radio.
All right, good morning, everyone. I'm just about to start episode 3. I'm doing this with my little one awake. So if you hear any random noises or him trying to talk, I apologize. If he gets too crazy, I'm going to mute. And if he really gets super crazy, I might just have to cut this short. But hopefully, we don't have any problems. We'll pick up where we left off in Displaced by J.F. Jenkins. I believe we just left off chapter 7. They were just taken by the aliens up to the spaceship and left in a dark, scary room. And that's where we left off. Chapter 7, Chevelle. Paul unlocked the door again. We all moved away from it and stayed close to one another. When Paul stepped inside, he took a look around and tilted his head to the side. "You didn't turn on the lights," he said. He reached over and flipped a switch, illuminating the apartment. With the lights on, it reminded me more of a penthouse. We were standing in a rather spacious entryway. Not too far off was the kitchen, which had plenty of walking room, an island counter, and brand new appliances. Fresh fruits were on the countertop, along with a number of utensils. There was the dining room with a large wood table that was a lot larger than we'd need for just the three of us. Beyond that was the living room. A large flat-screen TV hung on the wall far wall above a fireplace. Black leather couches rested in front. Directly across from us was a large window overlooking a beautiful blue sky. Trippy, since I didn't understand why there was a sky in the middle of outer space. They'd so far managed to replicate most of Earth perfectly, so why not the sky, too? Everything about the apartment seemed rather homey upon first glance. It sure didn't look like a prison, but it was. Just because it was nice didn't mean I wanted to be there. I moved to the living room so I could sit down on the couch. My shoes clicked against the white tile of the entryway as I went. Timber and Lara followed. We were all able to fit on the couch with ease, and I missed the close proximity we had had with one another from earlier. Paul followed us into the room and sat down on a chair across from us. He crossed his legs, still smiling. "I hope your home is pleasing. It's by far the nicest of the units designated for our kind. The Aquavans have done their best to replicate only the finest of lifestyles for those they wish to reward." "The what?" I asked, leaning forward. "Sorry, the Aquavans. That is the name of the race who has so kindly taken us in." "Kidnapped us, you mean," Timber said, his tone like ice. Nodding slowly, Paul raked his teeth over his bottom lip. "You're right. Like I said, it's for the best. Earth is dying. The Aquavans are taking as many of our species as they can in hopes of preserving us from extinction." "By kidnapping us?" Timber repeated. "Would you have come willingly?" Paul asked. "I know I wouldn't have. If some guy I had never met gave me the option of dying on Earth or living in space preserving the human race, I would have laughed in his face. No question about it. Only lunatics would willingly agree to come with someone making such outrageous claims. I'm guessing these Aquavan people didn't want to save a bunch of crazies. Of course, I wouldn't exactly call myself a fine specimen of humanity either." Timber looked away. "It's still not okay. What if we don't want to do this?" "You will. Give it some time. The Aquavans are demanding a trial period. After this time is up, then the idea of you going home again will be reevaluated." Groaning, I ran a hand over my face. "This is a bunch of crap. You know that what you guys are doing is wrong. Newsflash, the world is going to end someday, no matter what anyone does. Why test fate like this?" With an incredibly sad-sounding sigh, Paul stood from his chair. "Just give it a chance and keep an open mind. All we're asking you to do is try. You might like it better here than you did there. I'll be back tomorrow to give you a complete tour of the ship, or our portion of it, at least. Perhaps some sleep and some calm will help you listen more clearly." I watched him leave. My jaw dropped. Did he really think I'd be happier on a spaceship hundreds of thousands of miles away from my friends and family? That chance. I glanced at Timber. He was hard to read, that's for sure. While his body was tense, his face was rather stoic and expressionless. That seemed to match up with what I knew about guys, though. They were good at stonewalling their emotions when they needed to. Slowly, he stood. I don't know about you, but I'm hungry. The irrational girl part of me wanted to curl up with a gallon of cookie dough ice cream. Eating myself sick wasn't going to make any of my problems go away, though. Instead, I shook my head. Not hungry, I mumbled. Lara? He raised an eyebrow. The girl nodded, and she brushed some of her soft brown hair away from her face. Yes, please. All right, how do you feel about grilled cheese and soup? He smiled for the first time since we arrived on the ship. Lara nodded again and got off of the couch to follow him into the kitchen. I didn't understand how they could have so easily pushed everything Paul had said aside. Distraction, I suppose. That was the only logical way I could explain it to myself. I couldn't distract myself as easily, however. We'd just been told we were kidnapped by aliens to help preserve our species. To me, that raised a whole bunch of other questions. Mainly, what exactly did they expect us to do? Chapter 8, Chevelle. I caved and ended up having half a sandwich and two bowls of tomato soup. Timber could cook, which surprised me a lot. Hello, the guy was famous. Did the rich and powerful cook for themselves? Even more impressive was that he didn't just open up a can of soup and stick it in a pot on the stove. He took the time to add spices and herbs and whatever else one puts into soup to make it fan-freaking-tastic. The sandwiches had three different kinds of cheese, tomato, and spinach. Maybe we'd all actually died, and this was some bizarre version of heaven. Besides cooking, what else could Timber do? As I glanced at him from across the table, I realized just how little I knew about him and how much of my knowledge was based simply on assumptions. About the only thing I was certain of was that he was 21 years old. The only reason I knew that much was because of a tabloid from a couple months ago displaying pictures of him drunk as all get out with some kind of big headline broadcasting the news. I couldn't imagine living a life like that. People turn 21 all the time, so what made him so special that everyone needed to know about it? Nothing bad or newsworthy had even happened at the party. Other thing I knew about him was that he was in a fairly serious relationship with a musician. Okay, not just any musician, but one who was probably more famous than him. Talia Anderson, ex-front woman of the band Coil, and well-known for her angry chick rock once she went solo. She also had a reputation of writing about everything from her personal experiences. I'd heard the couple referred to as T-squared. They'd always seemed like an odd pairing to me. Even now, he was so goody-goody compared to her. Of course, I also only saw whatever the media wanted me to see. Last I checked, the two were still together and coming up on a year. Impressive for Hollywood. Beyond that, and what he looked like with his shirt off, I didn't know anything else. Again, I could assume a lot, but he'd already broken so many of those in the first five minutes we'd been alone. Okay, I feel better, he said, after he wiped his mouth with a napkin. I nodded. I do too, and like I can think a little clearer. Yeah, that's for sure. I'm still trying to process all of this. Same. I mean, preserve the human species? That's so random, don't you think? Our planet is crappy shape, but we're not completely screwed yet. We could turn things around, he shrugged. Plus, I'm having a hard time believing our government is going to just let these aliens take us away. I sighed. I kind of wish we hadn't scared Paul off for the night. I'd like to have some more answers. He exhaled slowly. For sure. Hopefully tomorrow he'll tell us more, like why they think we even need saving to begin with. Something isn't adding up for me. Then again, this whole situation is messed up on so many levels. I keep wondering when I'm going to wake up. Ditto. And I'm not sure what we should do. Keep complying seems like the safest option, but at the same time, you don't really want to? I finished. He nodded. Exactly. We cooperated to begin with because we didn't want to get hurt, but there's nothing okay with what they're doing. I don't get how this Paul guy can expect us to be happy about any of this. Giving us a shiny new pad isn't going to make things better. People can't be bought. Nope. I didn't want to break it to him that some people could be easily swayed with material things like a nice apartment. The place was a lot nicer than my house, that's for sure. Maybe it didn't attract Timber's attention because he had some kind of million-dollar mansion back in California, but the average person could be wooed by such luxury. I picked up my dirty dishes and brought them over to the sink. So we go along with things for now, is what you're suggesting? Right, because knowledge is power. Isn't that how the saying goes? The last thing either of us should be doing is reacting on a whim. Revolting today will probably only get us in jail or tortured or experimented on, or who knows what else. These Aquavons are aliens, right? They play by They don't play by the same rules as us. You know, you sure know a lot about this stuff, I mused as I rinsed the dishes off in the sink. He laughed. I've read my fair share of sci-fi novels, seen movies. It doesn't take rocket science just time to step back and think. Thinking wasn't all too easy for me, or at least not thinking clearly. My mind was running a mile a minute, trying to figure out if I agreed with him. On the one hand, cooperating meant we got to live for another day. There was no contesting that. It gave us time to watch and observe our new surroundings and devise a plan to escape. On the other, however, doing nothing felt an awful lot like quitting and giving in. Besides, who's to say that if we waited for too long, it wouldn't be too late? If the spaceship left Earth's orbit, there was no way we'd be able to make it back again. One thing that was certain, I was not convinced the Aquabons were simply coming to Earth on a peaceful mission. Chapter 9. Chevelle. Timber spent the night on the couch while Lara and I shared the bedroom. We had 3 bedrooms, but only one of them was set up for sleeping. One of the bedrooms had an office set up with a rather swanky large wooden desk and a great view of the same blue sky outside of our living room. The second bedroom was a nursery. I kid you not, and that solidified it in my mind what these aliens expected me to do with Timber. Don't get me wrong, the guy was hot, and all the physical aspects of making love/babies with him was there. I didn't love him or care about him enough to just throw myself at him, and I'm pretty sure he didn't love or care about me enough to reciprocate such a gesture. Besides, to him, I was probably grotesque. No, I wasn't morbidly obese or anything, but I also didn't have anything resembling muscle definition on my stomach. Don't even get me started on my arms, my hair, my everything. A guy like him just wouldn't be attracted to a girl like me. The end.
No.
Besides, preserving the human race or not, I didn't want to be a mother. Not yet, at least. Maybe someday when I wasn't 18 and had a stable living situation and someone I loved more than life. Sleep okay? Timber asked when we entered into the living room. He was already in the kitchen making breakfast. I thought maybe the previous day was a fluke, but he apparently liked to cook. Eggs, cheese, and some kind of mixture of vegetables filled my nostrils. I'm pretty sure they were peppers. I didn't like peppers, but Timber cooked them, so I felt obligated to eat them. Besides, Timber cooked them. I had to stay focused on some of the positives, at least. I nodded and walked into the kitchen to get something to eat something to drink for Lara and I. You drink milk, right? I asked, glancing over at her. I caught a nod and opened the refrigerator to pull out a carton of milk. I squeezed some orange juice earlier, so that should be good and cold by now, and there should be a fruit salad, Timber added as he worked his magic by the stove. Thanks, I mumbled. Coffee? There's a pot in here, but I didn't start one, he said. I mean, I don't drink it. I shouldn't have assumed you didn't either. My bad. I grunted and rubbed at my eyes before taking the fruit salad and milk over to Lara. Don't worry about it too much. I was starting to worry you were one of the aliens. You're acting a little too 50s housewife for me. He scoffed and dished up a skillet of red potatoes, red and green peppers, eggs, cheese, and tomatoes. 3 plates, one for each of us, and he carried them over to the table. How can you not drink coffee? I mumbled and found some ground beans in a cupboard. I got to work setting up a pot for brew. I slept like garbage, so I would need at least 3 cups to get myself to function. I stay away from caffeine altogether, actually, he said. I had this dream that I'd be 6'3" and a pro basketball player. Caffeine stunts your growth. Besides, the stuff isn't good for you. It gives me migraines and a whole slew of other problems. I gazed at him from across the room, folding my arms in front of my chest as I did so. That doesn't sound normal to me. He stumbled a little by the table. Either I caught him off guard or he was also a klutz. I was leaning more towards the former. His gaze rose from the table to meet mine. Why are you staring at me? What else is there to look at? the coffee pot, the lights, the floor, a bunch of other things, so why me? I shrugged and turned back to the coffee pot, which was now dripping some delicious-smelling brown liquid. Just trying to imagine what you would look like in a cute little apron. Ha, ha, and ha. Did I mention ha? You're full of a lot of snark in the morning. With another grunt, I filled up the coffee pot. Even aliens won't change the fact that I'm not a morning person. What time is it anyway? Beats me. I've been trying to figure that out, but there aren't any clocks in here. Not even a DVD. Not even on the DVD player or the coffee pot. None. The only thing we have to go off of for time is the sun outside, and that's got to be artificial. It might not even be set to the same time we're used to. He poked at his food for a moment before taking a small bite. I sat down across from him and glanced over at Lara, who was busy wolfing down her breakfast. The girl didn't like to talk, but maybe that was just her way of coping with everything. Eventually, I'd have to make sure she was okay mentally. The last thing I was empathetic. On top of that, I didn't do well with playing psychologist. Still, I had to take care of her. Of all three of us, she seemed to be handling it the best, at least. Kimber's observation about the clock struck me as odd, also. I frowned. Why do you think they don't want us to know the time? His blue-green eyes met my own, and he shook his head. My guess is it's some kind of brainwashing tactic. The more we acclimate to their ways, the less of a chance we'll want to leave. If they can distance us from our home, they'll do it. Just watch. Time won't be the first thing they take away. Do you have a watch? I asked, and I bounced a little excited, like I had just discovered gravity or something. It stopped as soon as we teleported to the ship. He gave me a small half smile. I sipped my coffee to avoid swearing in front of Lara. Paul said he was coming back today to give us a tour, right? Yeah, something like that. I'll admit, I'm a little curious. I almost looked out the window more, you know, to investigate the fake sky, but I chickened out. Why? I'm not sure I'm ready to know or be reminded, because if I see alien technology, that makes the aliens real. Right now, I can entertain the idea, but I don't want it to be real, you know? With how things are right now, I can at least pretend I'm not floating in the vast open space that is the universe. He stabbed a tomato with his fork rather roughly. I may be good-looking, but I'm not dumb. If we stay here, they're going to expect a lot from us that I'm not wanting to give. I nodded. The same thing was going through my head, so I'm glad we're on the same page with that one. I figured we were since you opted to sleep on the couch, but you never know with people. Because no offense, but I'm not going to give my virginity to just anybody. None taken, because I don't want it. I have a girlfriend, he stated. I remember, I mumbled, and realized how pathetic that came across as. I mean, it's hard to forget since it's kind of everywhere. You pump gas and it makes headlines. He laughed, and let me just say, Timber has a nice, genuine, lighthearted laugh. It could ease any pain. I like how I'm just anyone to you. There are a lot of girls who probably wouldn't care that I'm taken. A lot of guys would take advantage of the situation, I pointed out. That says a lot about you. I know. Leah is unforgettable. There's no way I could cheat on her, even if it was being demanded of me to have sex with a cute girl I just met. He thinks I'm cute. Of course, that's the only thing I take from the conversation. Before Talia, Timber dated supermodels and actresses. Leah, as he called her, could be a model herself with her perfect, springy red curls, long legs, and thin frame. How was I cute? I was curvy and frumpy. So what about you? Do you have anyone? He asked, filling the brief but awkward moment of silence that had passed between us. I shook my head. Solo. Oh, I thought you and your coworker were... Wiccan is off limits as a conversation topic. He must have not heard me, because he kept on talking. So that's his name. He's interesting. I shook my head, my eyes closing. Please don't talk about him right now. Mostly because I don't know what happened to him, and I don't want to think about it. Or the fact that he thought he loved me. I hated that he said it right before he ran. Sorry, Timber said softly. He directed his attention to Lara. You get enough to eat? Yes, thank you, she said. Her voice was so timid, and she was so polite for a kid. Most of the children her age I had met were brats. Timber smiled at her. So, Lara, tell us more about you. How old are you? Where are you from? I'm 6. She said. I live close to the mall. We go there a lot. Mommy likes to take the buses to the money place a lot. So she drops me off so I can play while she works. My heart sank. I had heard parents using the mall as a free babysitting service so they could run off to gamble at the casino before, but those kids were usually at least 12. Abandoning a 6-year-old, though, what was her mother thinking? And Lara was too sweet and innocent to even realize she'd been ditched. Timber moved closer to her and put an arm around her shoulders. What's your favorite thing to do there at the mall?
The roller coaster.
You go on that thing all by yourself?
Uh-huh.
Man, you're big and brave. It looked pretty scary to me. And for a while, all I did was watch them interact. I had no idea how to deal with kids, but he was a natural. We'd be okay. Tense, Chevelle. Paul arrived sometime shortly after the dishes were finished. The most I could tell was it was still daytime, probably close to 11 or something along those lines. When you don't have a clock of any kind to go by, it was really hard to figure out what was going on. My internal clock wasn't all too awesome. The most I could tell was when I was hungry and when I was tired. We were just about to settle in and explore what was on the television when there was a knock on the door. Timber got up to answer. Hi, Paul, he mumbled and waved for the other guy to enter. Paul looked between me and Lara. Are you ready to see your new home? Sounds great, Timber said with a lot more enthusiasm than I would have expected. Either he was geeking out over the whole being on a spaceship thing more than he let on earlier, or he was using his acting skills. He winked at me, and I realized it was probably the latter. Pretend to be interested, comply, evaluate the situation, gain the Aquavon's trust, get the time to plan and escape. I stood up and slapped a smile on my face as well, albeit I'm not a great actress, so pretending everything was fine wouldn't be all too believable. Somehow, I was able to focus on the pros of the situation and tap into the abundant amounts of curiosity that I was dying of, because I was on a spacecraft and I wanted to know a whole lot more about it. Who wouldn't, right? If I thought about that and not about how I was brought here against my will, I could fake being excited a little better. Instead of walking to the door, Paul went to the large glass window. Each unit has a balcony, he explained. He then walked to the side of the window so that I thought to what I thought was a light switch. Nope, it was the door to the balcony. As soon as he flipped the switch, the window glass slid into the wall. Pretty cool. Outside the window was a long platform made of metal that stretched out 3 feet and expanded 3 feet past the length of the window on each side. More glass surrounded the balcony. What I saw when I stepped out onto it took my breath away. Green trees and grass were underneath me, and it was tiny, so that meant we were high up. I'd never been good at measuring, but I would say we were well over 100 feet over the ground. How big was this ship exactly? It had to be huge, and if it was huge, why wasn't anyone on Earth throwing a fit about it yet? Or maybe they were, and I just wasn't hearing anything about it. Wouldn't someone have noticed it before they conveniently came to take us away? Way too many questions came along with that possibility. Wow, Timber said breathlessly. This is wow. Would you like to take a walk in the garden? Paul asked. Yes, definitely. Paul looked at me. You're the deciding factor. I blinked. What? You decide, or are we going to the garden? Yes or no? Oh, yeah, sure, I said. To the left of us was another panel with a whole lot of buttons that had different colors on them. The green one will take you down to the garden, Paul explained. The blue one goes to the sky deck. I suppose you would say that is a place where a lot of people like to hang out. There are shops and restaurants up there, that kind of thing. The red button is the level for the children, playgrounds, schools, and everything else they'll need will be there. This is officially blowing my mind, and that's saying a lot because it was blown pretty bad yesterday, too, I said. It takes some getting used to. Paul pressed the green button. The glass slid closed on our window, and then we were moving. I kid you not, the balcony could move, and in more directions than just up and down. It went down, then left, and down some more, avoiding other balconies and other people using this trippy elevator system. It went so fast, too. Everything blurred past us, and within seconds, we were down on the ground. Give me a second, because I think I have motion sickness, I mumbled. The glass surrounding the balcony disappeared, and I stumbled onto the grass. I fell, landing in the lush green blades. It felt like real grass. It felt like real grass. There was dirt, bugs, everything. It was exactly like home. This is the garden. You can use it to pick whatever you want in terms of fresh produce. No hunting for meat. We're trying to preserve the wildlife as much as possible. The Aquavons will deliver any kind of animal products to you as needed, Paul explained. Let's go for a walk, and I'll explain a few rules. There are rules? I asked and gazed up at him. Slowly, I got up from the ground and dusted off my jeans. Paul waited for us to follow him down a dirt path, leading deeper into the garden. He gave me a small smile. Everywhere has rules, Chanel. Don't look so surprised. Much like on Earth, there are a lot of them here. I'll only cover a few at a time because I don't want you to be overwhelmed. The first and most important one is that you need to stay in your designated area of the ship. I'm sure you're curious as to how big the ship is and what lies beyond our space. I'll tell you from firsthand experience that it is nothing all too interesting. All you'll see is the behind-the-scenes work of the Aquavans. They're private people and would like to remain as such. So unless you're invited outside our perimeters, you just stay here. You have plenty of space to roam around, and you'll have tasks, jobs, so you'll have things to do. Of course, telling us not to go somewhere made me want to see it even more. I believed him when he said it probably wasn't interesting, but I did want to see what these aliens looked like with my own eyes. How like us did they look? If the tall man was any indication, there were a lot of similarities. For the time being, I wouldn't push the issue. No leaving. Got it, Timber said. What else? Typical laws found on Earth. Murder is illegal and harshly punished by the Optus as well. We are sentient beings, so we need to act like them, Paul said. I nodded. Be good and don't hurt other people, that kind of thing. That's pretty basic and duh sort of thing. You'd think, but somehow people mess things up eventually. We're human. We have emotions, flaws. Paul stopped at an apple tree and picked a ripe red fruit from off of its branches. You'll find the weather here will be pleasant for the most part. Sometimes there is artificial rain and even the occasional thunderstorm. I've talked to the Aquavans about giving us snow for those of us who are used to the colder climates, but they're concerned about what it will do to the wildlife. Still, I think it would be a nice treat for a day. There's something magical about snow. I laughed. Yeah, for a day it is definitely magical. After taking a bite from the apple, Paul smiled. I'll keep working on that one. The Aquavans are happy to accommodate to a lot of our needs, but there are a few things they are strict about. These are where adjustments will have to be made in our lifestyle. What do you mean? Timber asked in a low voice. The Aquavans are a matriarchy. Females in general are highly respected amongst their people. The mistreatment of a woman is not something they will stand, even if it's something as simple as being perceived as disrespectful. This is hard for a lot of people to adjust to. I myself had a difficult time with it, Paul said in between bites of his apple. His gaze moved between me and Timber before he continued. In America especially, we're raised to believe men are the stronger sex. Their job is to provide for the family, to be the rock during difficult situations, so on and so forth. In Aquavan society, women are given the choice jobs over the men. They hold the family together emotionally, and that makes them more valuable. In a loving Aquavan home, both parents work together to make the whole family, whole. But the woman has the final say in all matters. The man loves and cherishes her. She is never to be objectified sexually, that kind of thing. And my mind was blown again for a third time in just one day. It doesn't sound like something that should be too hard to do, I said. Timber shook his head. No, it doesn't, but I can see how it'll be hard. Not like I have any intention of disrespecting you. It's just that, how do I word this? We've been taught to expect different gender roles, Paul said, and Timber nodded. The Aquavans understand this will take some getting used to. Small things won't be punished, but others will not be tolerated at all. If you work as a unit and have mutual respect for one another, it shouldn't be an issue. I have one more thing I need to discuss with you, and then we can move on to a happier topic. Okay. I rubbed at my arm slowly, feeling like I'd already done something wrong and pissed off these aliens who held my entire life within their hands. Timber's gaze moved off to the distance. Are those orange trees? Yes, Paul said with a slight nod. You'll find a variety of different fruit. Go ahead, pick one, and tell me what you think. And I'm going to stop there. It's in the middle of a chapter, but I've got like 5 seconds left. So I'm going to say goodbye, and we'll continue, hopefully, soon. All right, bye.